Father in heaven, please would you change our hearts of stone to hearts of flesh. Would you reveal yourself through your word, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew chapter 8 from verse 1. When Jesus came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately he was cleansed of his leprosy. And then Jesus said to him, "See that you don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the gift Moses commanded as a testimony to them." This is God's word to us this morning. Now, on the other side of this is a big question. On the other side of this is a really important question. The whole story that we just read stands or falls on this question. The leper's life hangs on the answer to this question. My life depends on this question. Your life depends on this question. What is it? We'll get to that. If you read it, don't say anything. We'll get to that a little bit later on. Let me just put it up there for now. And first, let's recap the story of Matthew so far, because this is our third visit to the Gospel of Matthew, which is all about the gathering and growing of God's royal family. In the first four chapters, we were introduced to the man who stands at the centre of God's good news plan, a man called Jesus, the royal son. He is a man, but not like any we've seen before. He looks like he is the promised Messiah, and as he begins to attract a crowd, he goes up onto a mountain, he sits down, and he begins to teach. And so in chapters 5 to 7, Jesus teaches his disciples as the crowds listen in. He explains that when you become part of God's royal family, there is a distinctive upside-down way of living, both on the inside and the outside. And the crowds hang on his every word. Just look how it ends in chapter 7, verse 28. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. So Jesus sits down and he teaches the theory of royal family life. He sits down on a mountain to teach. And then he stands up and he comes down. And as he does so, chapter 8 verse 1 tells us, large crowds followed him. They are attracted to him by his teaching. And now it's time to see what following looks like in practice. There's going to be some tough lessons along the way. This isn't like following someone on Twitter, where all you have to do is press a button and that's it. Following Jesus means walking with Jesus, walking like Jesus. It is life-changing, it is demanding, and for some it's too much. This eager crowd who chased Jesus down the mountain, many of them would fade away when they realize what it really means to follow Jesus. So in chapters 8 and 9, that's where we're going to be for the next few weeks. In chapters 8 and 9, Matthew's account follows Jesus around Galilee during his spectacular ministry. And as Jesus interacts with all sorts of people, with all sorts of needs and all sorts of problems, we can stand in their shoes and learn what it means to follow Jesus. We've had the theory from the Sermon on the Mount, and now as we see his power and authority spectacularly and gloriously displayed in these next two chapters, we begin to see what it looks like in practice to follow the King. That's the title for the next few weeks. Oh, hello. Oh, hello. You get us to the next one. There you go. Following the King. That's the title for Matthew's chapter 8 and 9. You see, the book of Matthew is both a biography and a training manual. It is a biography because Matthew wants us first and foremost to see Jesus in all of his glory, to show us that he really is the king, the one who is gathering and growing his royal family. But it's a training manual as well, because Matthew also wants to teach those of us who are part of the royal family what it looks like to then follow the king. And the first character that we can learn with is found in verse 2. Look at verse 2. It's a man with leprosy. A man with leprosy. And so we see, firstly, that following the king means facing up to our need. Read verse 2 with me. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." The leper knew he had a seriously big problem. He had a deadly disease. Leprosy could refer to a whole number of different conditions, some of which were extremely serious. We don't know exactly which one this man had, but symptoms could... In fact, could I have a volunteer, maybe one of the youngsters? Isaac, you're the only one not volunteering. Come on. All right. Take off your jumper so I can get to your forearms. All right, so symptoms could include things like growths and ulcers. They probably looked nothing like this, but this will do the job. Just like this. All right, here we go. I'll put this one on your hands. So growths and ulcers, you might have to help it sit. And these ulcers could be disgusting. They would grow, they would seep, and they would ooze. They were painful. They were horrific to look at. There you go, that will kind of stay on for a bit. Also, it could affect your mind, it could affect your nerves, it could affect your muscles, it could affect all sorts of areas. It could affect your vocal cords even. You lost feeling over time. It affected your nerves so that you couldn't feel your fingers and toes. And over time, your fingers start dropping off. Your hand or your whole foot might eventually drop off. Keep that on. So I've got some bandages here for your other arm. Here we go, just because you might have lost some fingers or toes over time. This bandage is from 1986. I found it in my medical box. It's from 1986. It probably not very good, except for an illustration. There you go. So here we go. We've got the sores, which are seeping and not really sticking on your arm. We've got the bandages because of all of the loss of feeling that you might have. The other thing that they had to do, regardless of their symptoms, they had to stay outside of the city. They had to wear raggedy old clothes. So let me give you a little shawl. Pretty disgusting. They also had to have their hair messed up.
Yeah, do it.
No real difference there. And they also had to stay, they had to stay at least 6 feet, actually, away from any other person. So a bit further. Now you're closer to those guys, but that's okay. I'll step back, all right? You had to stay 6 feet away. And in fact, if the wind was blowing in this direction, you had to be 50 metres down the road. That's how unclean these guys were. In fact, they had to go around shouting, "Unclean, unclean!
Unclean, unclean!"
Very good. Just to give you a sense of how far people stayed away from them, there was one rabbi who refused to eat an egg which had been bought on a street where a leper had passed by. That's how far away, that's how much distance people wanted to stay away from this disgusting man with all of his leprosy and all of his skin sores and everything else that was going on. For now, you can go and take a seat, but keep your stuff on. We'll need you later on. So this was the leper's situation. He was so unclean, it was even illegal to say hello to a leper. That's how unclean he was. It was an awful disease, potentially very contagious. And so people would run away. They would keep their distance. They would even throw stones. We should have acted that bit out. Throwing stones at them to keep them away. It's a bit like we might react to Ebola. You might remember when there was that deadly outbreak a few years ago. The fear, the precautions. That's what it was. Leprosy was this gruesome and deadly disease, and no one wanted to get anywhere near it. It was a deadly disease, a seriously big problem. So it's no wonder that Jesus comes to leper, to, other way around. So the leper comes to Jesus because he was facing up to his need. It was very clear to him that he had a problem. Everyone stayed so far away from him, he couldn't ignore the issue. But not only did he know the size of his problem, not only did he know that it was a seriously big problem, he also knew the nature of his problem. It's really interesting the way that he asks for help, the words that he uses. Look again at verse 2. He says, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." As awful as the disease was, as serious as the symptoms could be, the worst consequence of being a leper was that you were unclean in God's sight. And it's not talking about hygiene, but rather a ceremonial uncleanness. God is holy and we are not. And so in the Jewish temple worship system, there were certain situations which made you ceremonially unclean, and therefore you weren't able to come into his presence. Now, in most cases, this was just for a limited time. So, for example, if you touch a dead body, then you were ceremonially unclean for a week, for 7 days, and then you were okay again. But with a skin disease like leprosy, you were ceremonially unclean all of the time while you had this skin disease, until you fully recovered, which, by the way, they thought was impossible. So the leper had faced up to the fact that his disease was doubly deadly. It might well actually kill him, and even while he was alive, he was separated from the God of life. The reason he comes to Jesus is because he's not burying his head in the sand. He's not trying to convince himself that actually he'll be okay. It's just a rash, it will clear up. He faces up to his need. He has a deadly, dirty disease. And if we want to follow the king, it's not very comfortable, but we also need to face up to our need. This is how we start following, and this is how we continue following. Like the leper, we need to understand the nature of our need. If I was to ask you this morning, what's the biggest problem in your life at the moment? Just think about that in your head. What's the biggest problem in your life? What's your knee-jerk reaction, your first response? I expect between us we'll come up with all sorts of answers. Maybe for some of us it's housing issues. Maybe there's relationship troubles. Maybe there's health problems. All sorts of big issues. And maybe you're attracted to Jesus because you think he might be able to help you out with some of your problems. But if we're seeing clearly, then we'll understand that all of that brokenness, all of those problems are symptoms of a deeper disease. Something that makes us unclean in God's sight. Something called sin. And we'll realize that while Jesus can and does help us with our problems, sometimes he chooses not to. And one of the reasons might be that he wants us to see the true nature of our needs. Maybe that's hard to take. Perhaps you're not convinced that you're dirty in God's sight. Maybe like my son Zach after dinner, when he's like, "No, I don't need a wipe." Even though I can clearly see that there's food all over his face. And for us, maybe we're convinced that we don't need a wash simply because we've got used to our own smell. But God says all of us are unclean in his sight. We have all done wrong things. We have all said wrong things. We have all thought wrong things. We've done the right things for the wrong reasons. We've failed to do the right things. And all of those reasons, all of that stuff, means that in God's holy sight, it is like we are covered in filth. I told you it's not easy. There's going to be some difficult things that we need to hear. No wonder some of the crowd started to fade away when they heard this stuff. But if we really want to follow the king, if we want to follow Jesus, then we need to face up to the nature of our need. And also to see how serious it really is. It is a dirty, deadly disease, like leprosy, like Ebola. Sin leads to death. Sin is lethal. And yet how often we ignore the warning signs. How often we fail to be harsh with sin. We let it grow and we convince ourselves that it will be okay. I don't need to see a doctor. It's like getting comfortable with cancer. This is both how we begin to follow Jesus and how we continue to follow Jesus. It starts with facing up to our need. I know that's a hard thing to take this morning. Maybe you weren't expecting to hear that you're like a leper, that we've got a deadly, dirty disease. But that's just the first part. There is a second part to it as well, okay? So it starts by facing up to our need, but also following the king then means kneeling down to plead. Again, we see that in verse 2. Facing up to our need and then kneeling down to plead. In fact, maybe the leper can come up again and we can act this bit out. Okay, so it says, a man with leprosy came and knelt before him. You're a bit too close, actually. You should be 6 feet away. All right, there you go. The leper came and knelt before him. And what does it say next? He said, Lord, if you are willing,
Lord, if you are willing,
you can make me clean.
You can make me clean.
So the leper knelt before Jesus. In fact, the word that's used here is actually the word worship. It means to be face down. It means to be face down. It means to be prostrate in front of someone. In fact, this word is always used to describe something in the presence of someone divine, someone supernatural. It's a word used to describe worship of God. It's the same word used in chapter 2 when the wise men bring their gifts to the baby Jesus. It says they bowed down and they worshipped him. It's the same thing. It's the same word used in chapter 28 when the risen Lord Jesus appears to the women who found his tomb empty. And it says they clasped his feet and they worshipped him. You see, this kind of kneeling down is not something that you do to another person. It's something that you do to God. It's worship, not just begging. And so here the leper kneels. And what does he call Jesus? He calls him Lord. He calls him Master. And Matthew wants us to be very clear that this is more than just a man being polite to someone important. This is more than him just saying, please, sir. Here is a man who is on his face in the presence of God in human flesh. You can sit down. Although we'll need you later, so hold on to your swords. As the leper comes to Jesus, there's faith here. Did you notice? Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. He has no doubts about Jesus' power and ability. There's humility here. He realizes that Jesus is great and that he is not. And so he bows low. He offers nothing but a contrite heart, his brokenness and his faith. In fact, this is a great example of what Jesus was talking about at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, when he says, blessed are the poor in spirit. You are in a good position, Jesus says, when you realize that when it comes to being clean in God's sight, you have nothing to offer and all you can do is beg. Following the king means kneeling down to plead. And so with us. It's no good knowing all about our deadly disease unless you know which doctor to go to. When you realize that you're unclean, the thing to do is not to say, oh well, I'll just keep wallowing in the mud, but rather to come to Jesus and ask him to make you clean. Kneel before him in worship, knowing that he is God, knowing that he can make you clean, knowing that you have nothing to offer, that you can't clean yourself up no matter how hard you scrub. This is how you start following Jesus. And this is the life of following Jesus, isn't it? A continuing coming to Jesus, worshipping him, asking him to make you clean. Following the king means facing up to our need and kneeling down to plead. But there's still a big question. Did you forget about this? There's still a big question on which the whole of this story hangs. It stands or falls on the answer to this question. Any guesses?
Is he willing?
Is Jesus willing? The leper is clear about a lot of things. He knows his need. He knows who to come to. But there's one big question that is still unanswered. Is Jesus willing? I know you can make me clean, but do you want to? Will you make me clean? And what happens next happens in slow motion. Look at verse 3. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said. Be clean. Maybe the leper can come up again and we can act that bit out, Isaac. Just remember who this guy is. This guy is a... Don't come... Okay, there. This is a guy who has to stay 6 feet away from me at all times. Or 50 metres if he's downwind. This is a guy who has these oozing sores all over him. A guy who is bandaged up and in his torn clothes and with his ruffled up hair. A guy who has to stay outside of the city at all times. A guy who no one wants to come anywhere near to him. A guy who has had the boldness to come to Jesus, is kneeling down in front of Jesus. And what does Jesus do? He reaches out and he touches him. And immediately, immediately what happens is that he is healed. That was easy. Immediately, everything could be taken off. The bandages, the clothes, the lepers, sores, and illnesses was healed in an instant. That is the nature of Jesus' power. That's how instant it was. You can go sit down. Isn't it amazing that Jesus reached out and touched the leper? I don't think we can quite understand what a countercultural thing that would have been. And then he says, verse 4, don't tell anyone. He doesn't want to attract the wrong kind of attention. He didn't want to be seen just as this wonder worker or some kind of revolutionary leader. Although he does say, you should go to the priests, go through the official process so that you can be signed off as genuinely healed, so that you can get back into normal life. So no longer would this leper have to be unclean outside of the city. No longer was he outside of the temple. His life was restored. In an instant, the deadly disease was cleansed because Jesus is willing. Not only is he able, Jesus actually wants to heal our deadly disease. The Ebola virus is vicious. It's deadly. And it's highly contagious. You might remember at the time of the outbreak, we saw the footage of those patients all sealed up. And the medical team in those full sort of like astronaut gear, like full protective gear. When the crisis got really bad, the NHS appealed for volunteers to go and help out. And Pauline Kafferke was one of the ones who put herself forward. A Scottish nurse who knew the risks, and yet she was willing to move towards the danger. For the good of others, she put herself in harm's way, and despite taking the necessary precautions, she ended up catching Ebola virus. She did not have to help, and yet she wanted to. She chose to. And here's the crazy thing. This is the really crazy thing. Jesus did not have to touch the leper. Jesus did not need to touch the leper. In fact, in the very next story, which we'll get to next week, in the very next story, Jesus heals someone without even going to their house. He heals someone simply by saying a word, and it was done. And he could have done that here. He could have just said the word from afar. He could have shouted it down from 50 meters away, and the leper would have been healed just the same. But Jesus wants to leave us in absolutely no doubt about this question. Is he willing? He wants us to see how far he is willing to go to cleanse us from our deadly disease. And so he reaches out and he touches the leper, knowing full well the consequences. He knew that when you touch something ceremonially unclean, you yourself become unclean. And yet that's how willing he is. That's how far Jesus will go. He would even go as far as the cross. My sin, your sin, our sin, is a deadly, dirty disease which makes us unclean in God's sight and unable to come into his presence. Jesus is sinless, clean, and pure. And yet on the cross, Jesus reached out his hands and took my uncleanness on himself. He died in my place, banished on my behalf under the penalty of death. He became unclean for me. Through his blood, I am washed whiter than snow, instantly and immediately cleansed like the leper. That's how far Jesus is willing to go. That's how willing he is. Is Jesus willing? He touched a leper. Is Jesus willing? He went to the cross. Is Jesus willing? He took the anger of God that I deserve. Is Jesus willing? Jakai, I'm with you. Yes, he is. Jesus is completely willing to cleanse us from our dirty disease. Our Lord Jesus, who died on the cross, rose again from the grave. And the good news for us today is that he is still willing. He still has this same attitude when it comes to unclean people like me and you. If we want to follow Jesus, if we want to know what it looks like to follow the King, it starts and continues with a confident joy that our Lord Jesus is willing to make dirty people clean. Which means that we mustn't write anyone off. No matter how filthy someone might be, it's just amazing what happens when Jesus starts making a difference and begins to scrub them up. But I guess for most of us, it's something much more personal than that. A lot of us probably don't need convincing that we are unclean in God's sight. We probably know that all too well. Rather than thinking we're not dirty, perhaps for us the problem is, I'm too dirty. I'm too unclean in God's sight. Maybe there's something in your past, or maybe it's not in the past, maybe it's in the present, something that you're going through, some sin, some experience. And it feels like as you come to God, it feels like you're covered in mud. How can I come into God's shiny, holy, perfect presence like this? Is that you this morning? As you think about God, maybe you're overwhelmed with shame and fear and guilt. Maybe you've tried your hardest to clean yourself up, but you're not really getting anywhere. And that feeling of shame and fear and guilt just remains. Maybe you're holding on to that sin, that guilt, that shame, that fear, not because you like it actually, it's not something that you wish you could hold on to forever, but you feel like you have to because you don't want to get Jesus dirty with your muck. He's far too perfect for your mess. But this is our Jesus. Our Jesus is the Jesus of Matthew 8, verse 1 to 4. Our Jesus is the one who reaches out his hand to touch a leper. This is our Jesus, the one who doesn't mind us coming close, no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter what the feeling is, no matter the shame that you have, no matter the stuff that you've done in your past that is still overwhelming you with fear and guilt and shame. For all of us, it will be different. But whatever it is, he does not mind us coming close to him. And when we can't come any closer because we are fearful and we're ashamed, he is the one who then comes to us. He reaches out his hand to touch us. He is willing. If you come to him today, you will be welcomed. There is no ifs, buts, or maybes.
You will be welcomed if you come to him today. We've got to let this truth sink in, because when we do, it is just so wonderfully freeing when we realize that Jesus is willing. When this big question isn't actually a question anymore in our mind. It doesn't cause any doubt or fear to arise in us. When we know for sure the answer to this question, he is willing to cleanse you. So don't hang on to your guilt. Allow him to free you from your shame. If we truly realize that Jesus is willing, then we'll stop beating ourselves up about stuff that's in the past. Do you do this? I do. Maybe it's sins of the previous day that you've already said sorry for, but then you remember it again the next day, and you feel like you have to make yourself feel rubbish again, and you feel like you kind of have to say sorry again because you still feel ashamed of what you've done. You feel, I haven't been sorry enough yet. I haven't done my penance, so I need to do it again. It can even be sins from years ago which still haunt you. And every time you, maybe just every so often, it comes up again in your mind and in your heart. And every time you remember it, you have that same guilt, even though it's in the past. Sometimes we are unwilling to allow ourselves to be forgiven. We are unwilling to allow ourselves to leave it with Jesus and move on. And maybe some of these things are such big things, big sins, that you can't quite believe, you won't want to let yourself believe that you've actually been forgiven, that Jesus actually is willing. If you have any doubts about coming to Jesus, if you have any doubts that your sins are forgiven, just look at the leper. If you have any doubt, just look at the cross. As someone once said, Jesus has thrown your sins into the deep of the sea. And there's a sign up which says, no fishing. We must not hang on to the sins of the past. Because Jesus really is willing. If he is willing to reach out and touch the most ugly of diseases, then he is willing to cleanse you from the most ugly of sins. This is our Lord Jesus. This is our King. Why would you not want to follow him? Let's bow our heads together. I'm going to pray a prayer that you can pray whether you are already a Christian or whether you want to come to Jesus for the first time, or perhaps you would have said once you were a Christian but you faded away, and in many ways you'd love to come back, you don't know what that looks like. Here's a prayer that all of us can pray, whether we're a Christian now or we want to become one. Lord Jesus, King Jesus, I confess my sin to you. I know that I am unclean in your sight. Thank you that you are willing to make me clean. Thank you that you died on the cross in my place to clean me from my sin. I kneel before you in worship and I beg you to cleanse me from my sin. Amen. Thank you.